Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. I think we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen. How many of you know God is good? How many of you know that God is watching over us like, I mean, He is like, we're like, even that picture of a hen that brings her little eggs, I mean, her little chickens or little chicks around her and just kind of just watches over them. That's what God's doing for us. He's taking care of us. And I'm glad He is. Amen. Glory to God. If you will, would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6? This chapter is getting to be, for somehow these days, this chapter seems to be just one of my favorite. It's getting to be one of my favorite chapters, because the more I read it, the more I see in it, and the more I see in it, the more I try to walk in it, and the more I walk in it, I really love Romans chapter 6 for some reason. You know, how many of you like that? There's certain seasons that you just got a piece of scripture that you go over and over and over again. It seemed like God seems to be talking to you at the moment at that time. I mean, don't you love that? I love it when that's happening. And Romans 6 is that kind of thing for me this morning. So bear with me. If you've heard some of this stuff before, you heard me say this stuff, just bear with me. Hallelujah. I believe God's got something to say to you. Amen? How many of you are expecting God to say something to you this morning? That's why you came to church, is that right? You don't come to hear Henry. You come to hear what God is saying, amen? Hallelujah. There's a difference. Praise God. And you know what? You know what's cool about it? You can be eating a baked potato back there, talking to one of my brothers and sisters, and right there you'll hear what God is saying to you. You might not hear anything that you can recognize all through the service, but somehow maybe back there, or maybe even just going out the door, talking to Sister Kristen at the tent, and just all of a sudden something hits, and then God speaks to you, and you know, hey, that's what I came to church for. Amen? Man, you ought to be coming to hear the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So Romans chapter 6, we're going to start at verses 3 and 4, maybe, but we'll talk a little bit about baptism. It says Romans 6, 3 and 4. Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you're able, Father, to take one word and deliver it into a heart and deliver people and to heal people and to strengthen people. Just one word from you, Father. So God, we are expecting that this morning, Lord. Lord, touch my brothers and my sisters. Lord, speak to my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Newness of life. How many know it's nice to start things new? How many like new stuff? Anybody like new stuff? Yeah. Oh, come on, man. I know you guys like new stuff. Yeah. Come on, man. There was a women's boutique. I wasn't shopping, but there was quite a few ladies in here looking for some new stuff, some new different things. Amen? Hallelujah. How many guys like new cars? Mm-hmm, new cars. How many like just a new house? Yeah. How about, I'm not much in trying new foods. How many, anybody in here like just new foods? Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. But new stuff. We like new stuff. Amen? And it's crazy, man. When it says newness of life, he's serious about what he's telling us. He says, I want you to walk in a newness, in a life, in a way that is new to you. Is that right? How many know that if you stay in one spot long enough, things are going to get pretty old? Is that okay? Is that right? So we got to be constantly moving forward. Is that right? Always looking for something new. And I'm going to tell you something. In the Word of God, look for new stuff. Is that okay? You know, there's some stuff that is, I mean, I'm not talking about changing doctrine. I am talking about things that God wants to give us that's in His Word, and He's trying to speak it to us. How many of you know that we're not limited in this thing? Do you know that? Do you know that the Word of God is not limited by what we think about it? Is that right? It is limitless. God has placed more things in this thing that we can even realize. Can I say that we probably just barely touched the tip of the iceberg in what we know about God in the Word of God? We've got no idea. And sometimes we get glimpses and insights that just go, man, that's really cool. But God wants us to be walking in newness of life. Is that okay? How many know that Jesus is the life? Is that right? There's no other life but Jesus. I'm going to take you through a few scriptures this morning, and then we'll get. I'm not going to try to take too long because we want to get some baptisms done. So I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 is what I've got. I hope that's right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. God wants us to be walking in newness of life. So it says here, it says, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see that? The word of God, Peter is talking about God's word here, and he says it's his word, and it lives and it abides forever. Is that right? So he says, be born again. Again, be born of God by the word of God. God's word coming into your heart will cause you to become new. Is that okay? All right. How many say, yeah, new? Yeah. Look at your spouse or look at that one person. You need to be new, man. Come on. Get new, tell them. Get new. Newness of life. But I want to just go through this. Verse 24 says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. Kind of sad, huh? It's talking about man. Is that right? I'm going to read that again in case you didn't get it. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. But then he says in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want you to take a look at that. Because I want to, if you can, we'll go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Did I give you that, fellas? Isaiah 40, verse 8. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40, verse 8. This is what the word of God says. I'm going to start at verse 6, actually. We'll start at verse 6. It says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord... The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. And then verse 8 says this, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You see that? Just the two testimonies, two witnesses of the word of God talking about how the flower, the grass, it fades. And that flower that's in that grass, it fades. And it passes away. Is that right? Talking about mankind. Is that okay? You guys agree with that? That's cool. Then the next thing he says, but I want to point you back to 1 Peter again. And that verse 25. Both places it says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Is that correct? The word of the Lord endures forever. And then he says this, and this is the word by the gospel is preached to you. That word is being preached to you. Is that okay? Take a look at that, because what it's saying, grass flower, grass dries, it gets withered and it gets on that. That's the way flesh is. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So I'm going to say this to you. The more of God's word that you take in, the more eternal life you have dwelling in you. Can I say that to you? Because the word of the Lord endures forever. So if you are loaded with the word of the Lord, guess what's going to happen? Oh, man. Come on, man. It's going to be very difficult for things to come against you. How many of you know all things are possible with God? Is that right? How many of you know that there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper? Do you know that? Are you familiar with that? Do you know? That when the eternal word comes and rests in your heart and takes the place of something that was there that is not eternal, it's there forever. Do you know that? You guard it and you watch over and you take care of it and you rehearse it. Does anybody here rehearse the word of God to themselves? I'm going to tell you what, I love talking, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's a blessed man. Is that right? Doesn't listen to what the ungodly people have to say. You can hear, but you don't have to agree with it. You're a blessed person. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What is that? Oh, man. We'll talk about that in a minute. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord, it endures forever. I want to say something to you. God's word will hold you and keep you. You hold on to it. Don't let it go. Speak it out of your mouth. Continue to let it come to you and through you. Let it go out. Let it go out. Just keep it out in there. And you'll find that God will... This is true. This is truth. Okay. Glory to God. John chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. John 15, verses 5 and 6. This is what the Word of God says. Jesus is talking here, and he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. How many of you believe that? Without Jesus, you can't do anything. Is that right? Yeah. I can't even regulate my own heart. I can't even hold my breath longer than what it takes me to pass out, because my body will take over and make me pass out and I'll start breathing again. Just can't. There's certain things I just cannot do. But it says here, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. He abides in me. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Does that sound like somebody that is passing away, that is withering? Like it says, the grass withers and it passes away. Does that sound like somebody that's passing away? Absolutely not. Jesus says, abide in me. Stick with me. You'll find out that what I tell you is true. And it will produce fruit. It will produce godliness. It will produce righteousness in your life. Is that good? Hallelujah. Because then the very next verse says this. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is what? What's that word? Withered. Withered. Dried up. Is that right? And is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. I'm going to tell you something. Holding on to the word of God and grabbing a hold of it and allowing it to do what God has designed it to do in your spirit is going to strengthen you and build you and bring everlasting life to you. Do you hear me? Everlasting life. I'm going to say this to you. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that what the word of God says? That's what it says. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to have anything to do with the death part. I'm in for eternal life. How many of you say that? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. It really is a good deal. The word of the Lord endures forever. Forever. Is that right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 14, verse 6. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. How many know that? There's no other way? Jesus is the way. Which way do you want to go? I want to go that way. I want to go with Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. Is that right? You're not going to find truth anywhere else but in God. Amen. That's the only place you can find it, in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the truth. Is that good? Is that being kind of bold on his? He's telling you the truth. He cannot lie. Why would he lie to you? He says, I am the way. I am truth. He is truth. How many know that truth is it can't be part true? Is that right? It has to be all true, or it's not what? Not true at all. It has to be true. And that's what Jesus is. He says, I am the way, the truth. And then he says this, I am the life. He's the life. There is no other life but what Jesus is. That's the life. He is the light of all. He is the light, and he's the life of all men. Is that okay? That's who Jesus is. He's the light. He's the life. Hallelujah. It is Christ. Hallelujah. John chapter 12, verse 24. How many know that sometimes when you plant something, it takes a while to grow? Is that right? Yeah, you got to plant something in order for it to grow. So sometimes when you're speaking seeds to somebody, let's say you got a loved one that doesn't know the Lord. So you're just talking to them a little bit at a time. I mean, sometimes you just got to just speak just little things to them. Because sometimes people get upset when they don't know the Lord and they think that you're trying to indoctrinate them or change them, so they'll get upset. Let me just say this: when you give a seed, let it grow. Just leave it alone. Is that okay? Just give it to them, and know this: that God will water that seed. One plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. God will send somebody to water that seed. You know what? You can trust God with that. When your loved ones, the ones that don't know Jesus, you can trust them. You can trust God to say, you know what? I know, God, because I've been praying that they're going to be touched by you. That you are going to one day going to cause that seed that's in their life to begin to take up and begin to grow. And they'll know you. Hallelujah. So here's a scripture. It says this. What verse did I say it was? Verse 24. It says, verily I say to you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So here's a seed that dies. Let's talk about this as being you. Let's talk about you being that seed that dies. Because what we're talking about this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about baptism. And what we're going to say is, I'm going to tell you this, is that, folks, how many of you know that we have to die? Is that right? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Is that right? How many of you know we all have a cross to carry? Is that okay? Is that all right? Oh, I just had his name. There used to be a guy on TBN that used to visit all the time. Arthur Blessett. Thank you. Arthur Blessett. And he would walk across the United States with a cross, going all sorts of places. You know, I don't think that's what he's calling us to do. But there's a cross to bear. Is that right? What's the cross he's talking about? Denying yourself. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And sometimes we think, oh man, that sounds really bad. Is that right? Sometimes we say, but I'll tell you something. It's not bad. It is good. It's good to be able to say to yourself, you know what? I think I'm just going to wait on God. I think I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to wait on God. I'm just going to wait for Jesus to talk to me about that. I think that I'm going to allow him a place that I say, hey, God, I love you, Lord. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow you. And when you do that, the Word of God says right here that seed, it abides alone. Do you see that word alone? You see the word alone up there? Can you take your friends? Hey, come with me. Come with me. Can you do that with God? I'm going to tell you, you can't really do that. It's got to be you by yourself with God saying, God, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to find out what you have for me, Lord, because your word tells me that you are the life. And if I lay down my life, you have said that I'll pick it up again. You will pick it up for me. Laying down our lives for Jesus Christ is sounds weird, doesn't it? Sounds hard, but it's not. It really isn't. Laying down your life can be just going outside of your door and seeing somebody down walking down the road, just going over and helping them, helping somebody fix a flat, helping somebody and talking to them, and allowing them to just have some fellowship with you. Anything. Touching people. Because Jesus is after people. Amen? Hallelujah. Touch me, Lord. Hallelujah. Except you die, you abide alone. But die, and you bring forth much fruit. I'd like you to look at Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. It takes time. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. So is the kingdom of God as a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then after that, the full corn in the ear. Hallelujah. We don't know how these things happen. How many of you actually know how God opens a seed in the ground? I mean, I don't know. Any botanists are in here that somebody, I mean, can you explain to me how it happens? How that little seed in there actually understands it's time to pop out and start moving? I don't get it. Anybody get it? I don't get it. But see, it's we don't know how. But it does. It'll work. It happens. How many of you like planting seeds? I love planting seeds. I planted a bunch of seeds. I had a bunch of nice little flowers growing like that the other day out there. And then some little rabbit came along, was hungry. And he took them all out, man. One failed swoop. Yeah. I tell you, I mean, planting seeds and having seeds. You know, there's a time involved in planting seeds. And sometimes we'll plant a seed and we'll expect a crop right off the bat. And God says, just hold on. Just hold on. Trust me. I'll get it there. You'll see it. It'll happen. Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. The Word of God says, and Jesus is talking, he's talking to Martha, and so after her brother had died and passed away, and Jesus has come to see her now, and they're kind of upset because he's come late, and they realize that they're saying, God, if you would have came, my brother wouldn't have died. It would have, you know, you could have healed him, Lord. And Jesus asks her a question. He says, Martha, he says, your brother will rise again. And Jesus was talking about right now. Is that right? He was talking about a right now experience. Look, your brother's going to rise again. And she goes and she tells him, she says this. Hey, she goes, yeah, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection. And I love Jesus, man. I just love the. I can just picture him looking at me. Oh, man, okay, let me say it this way. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Is that what he says? Is that what he says? How many believe in him? Yep. Hallelujah. How many believe in Jesus? Yes. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's a good scripture. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we know we got a promise that said, hey, we're going to live. Is that right? Because I believe in Jesus. How many believe in Jesus? But Jesus goes and he says something else, and it's just, and I really believe it's directed at an end time generation like we are. How many believe we're the end time generation? I just believe we stepped into it, whether we know it or not, whether we understand it or not. We are part of the end time generation that God's going to touch the world in. And he is preparing him a people that's going to glorify God in the earth like God, like the earth has never seen, because we're all over the place. How many know that? How many know we are, the body of Christ is all over the place. Amen? We have a lady in Sudan right now, amen? In the body of Christ, hallelujah. We're all over the place. And don't you think it's time that the glory of God be seen in the church by the world? to where the world is saying, what is that light? What is that? What's going on? I'll tell you what. I believe the next verse he's saying is, he says this, he that believeth, he that, and verse 26 says, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He's asking Martha that. And I would say he might be asking you that same thing. And I'm going to tell you, I understand how hard it is to speak this. I understand the seed that I'm speaking to you right now. I understand how difficult it is. Because we are so programmed by this world to die. Do you know that? We have been programmed for year after year after year, and God's allowed it that way. But there's an end time generation that I believe is going to take a hold of every enemy. Is that what he said? The Word of God says that God told Jesus, sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. How many of you know that death is an enemy of God? 1 Corinthians 15 says that it is the last enemy that will go. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. He died on a cross with a purpose. And that's why I kind of went through the seeds. Because I'm going to tell you something. Listen, a seed has to be sown. It really does have to be sown. It really does. And to sow this seed in the church today is a difficult thing. And that's okay. I believe God has called me to sow this seed. That's why I'm here. I believe because I'm going to tell you, I was in Michigan City, Indiana, went to a youth group. And while I'm at that youth group, I had a little 12-year-old girl come up to me, and she calls me up to, and she says, look, she says, you are afraid. You are fearful to speak what God has told you to speak. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you will see great things. And I'm weeping like I'm crying like crazy. This little girl nailed me right to the floor, man. She hit it right on the, yeah, I was afraid to say what God was telling me. People all around me were telling me, you can't say this. You can't say this. This is not correct. It's not, but the Word of God backs it up. Amen. It does back it up. Amen. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Are you in death or are you in eternal life? Which one? It's a seed. And sometimes it takes a little time for seeds to grow. Let me just say this to you. I'm going to give you one more. Look at this. John chapter 8. Jesus is talking. He's kind of having a little head-banging session with the Pharisees. And they're accusing him of stuff and all this other thing. And in verse 50, Jesus says this, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verse 51, he says this, verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And I don't know if you want to, you can categorize it. Well, that's death number one. Death number two or death number three. You can categorize that if you want. But the Pharisees, if you read the next few verses, they didn't categorize it. They knew exactly what he was saying. Pharisees said this in verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus was giving them truth. Do you understand that? So for me to speak this to you this morning, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's not Resurrection Sunday. It's Baptism Sunday. Come on. Is anybody awake? Come on, man. For me to speak this to you this morning, I'm planting a seed. Do you understand that? Now, it is not up to you to say, okay, pastor said it, must be the truth. Uh-uh, don't you do that to yourself. You take the Word of God and you go in there and you dive in there and you look around and use the scriptures. Don't go by what people have taught you. Do you hear me? Don't go by that. You use the scriptures and allow truth to invade your heart. Hallelujah. Because God will show you. Hallelujah. That's how we do. That's how God builds his church. The Word of God says in Isaiah, he says, and they'll all be taught of the Lord. Taught by who? Taught by the Lord. What's his name? We call him the Holy Ghost. We call him the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. That's it. So I'm just going to bring you to that point and say, hey, man, I'm going to ask you that question. Do you believe this? Now, what I've done to you this morning is I placed you in a position where you have to look. You have to. You've got no choice. You got to say, God, okay, this is strange to me. How many of you say this is strange? I say, yeah, this is strange. Nevertheless, you need to look on your own. And you'll find that God will reveal his truth to you, whatever it may be. Listen, if I'm banging on the wrong door, come and tell me. Talk to me. Show me what you've got. But you better bring some scripture with you, because I've got some scripture. Is that okay? Come to me. Talk to me. And say, hey, wait a minute. No, no, no. That's not good. Yeah, okay, that's cool. But come to me and bring scripture. Don't bring me what Brother Hennessy, Brother Jimmy, Brother whatever. Don't bring me that stuff. Bring me the Word of God. That's how we'll work these things out. Is it cool? Because I will not feed you anything but the Word of God. Do you understand that? And I will not take things out of context. When I'm looking at something, I'm asking God, the first thing I'll ask him is, okay, I see what you're saying here, but by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. You're going to have to show me in another place. He shows it. And then he'll show it another one. If it's truth, you're going to see it all over. All of a sudden, you're going to see it. It's going to be bouncing off the walls on you. Isn't that cool? Because the Holy Spirit, that's his job. That's what he does. Hallelujah. Turn off Brother Billy Bob. Turn off your TV set and get into the Word of God, man. And start looking and saying, God, what are you saying to me personally? I need to know. Amen. How many know that we are in a time where we got to hear what God is saying? The Word of God says, talking in Daniel, he says, there's a word he says, and they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can I tell you this? That God is wanting us, he's waiting on us so that he can do exploits through us. So he can, but folks, maybe we got to just begin to start moving in it. Start walking in what God has given us. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Hallelujah. One more scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Romans 6, verse 5. I told you I'm loving Romans 6 right now. So. Romans 6, verse 5 says this. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. We shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Then he says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Is that right? In Galatians, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Verse 6, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve what? Folks, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to serve sin. Sin has no dominion, has no access to you if you'll believe it. Is that all right? It cannot come to you. And then he says this, for he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. I love it. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to like being dead more and more. Because he that is dead is free from sin. I mean, just think about it naturally. Some guy in a coffin. That's not a good. But anyway, but think about it. Can he sin anymore? No. But he that is dead is freed from sin. And he says this. Now, if we be dead with Christ, this is verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with him. Is that correct? Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more what? Dominion over him. Did death have dominion over Christ? Trick question. It did. Do you know why? My sin. Your sin. Our sins. death had dominion over him, so he died. Do you know that he could not die because he had no sin? The wages of sin is death. But he had no sin, so death could not get a hold of him. He had to lay himself down so that God could place our sins on him. Death came. Death came and took him, and they thought, and death thought it was, all right, I'm the man. That's what death was saying. I got him, the Son of God. No, man. How do you know? It was a different story, isn't that right? Praise God. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died once unto sin once, but in that he lives to God. Verse 11, which is our power verse today, it says, likewise, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word reckon, I love it, man. I love reckon. Used to have a Mr. White, too bad Pam's not here, but Mr. White used to say, oh, well, I reckon. That was his word, man. I say, Mr. White, good day today, isn't it? I reckon so. Yeah, and he would reckon everything, man. He was a good guy. I love Mr. White. But that word reckon means to consider it, that it's done. It's done. He has died for you so that you could live. And we're talking not just, it's eternal life. It is eternal life. Jesus said it this way. Do you believe this? I love it, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. God was absolutely serious about what he did with his son on the cross. Do you hear me? God was serious. He was serious. He was saying, I'm going to send my son for you to die on a cross. Everything that Jesus paid for, the healing, the thorns in his skull were for our thinking, for our mind, for our that we might have the mind of Christ. Everything that he did for us, God says, I'm not playing around with this. This is a real deal. It's real. Salvation is real. Cleansing is real. Baptism is real. It's a real deal. And God is saying, I am looking for a people. I am looking for a people. That will declare my name in the earth. That will tell those around them that he lives. He died and he rose again, so he lives. There might be some of you that sin and the deceitfulness of sin has been pulling on you and pulling on you and pulling on you. And I want to say this to you. God breaks bondages. He breaks yokes. He breaks chains. He breaks those things. He did it at the cross. So let's pray right now. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in our midst, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're even in this moment speaking to people's hearts. I thank you, Lord. Lord, we come before you and we say this, Lord. Lord, we're sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, for doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Walking in ways I shouldn't be walking. Lord, strengthen me, empower me. Break those things that have just been on my life. I come against them in your name. Break them, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.